The last 1 week, we've been speaking on strategy. Tell somebody strategy. Oh, we've been talking about strategy for success, isn't it? For the last week, Pastor Rockwell was here, and we thank God for what God did during that time. The next few minutes, I want to also pick up from there and trust God that the few minutes that we've got, God is going to speak to somebody's mind, and God is going to speak to somebody's soul. You see, one of the things that you need to understand about God is that God is in the business of his people. Tell somebody, God is in the business of his people, and God is interested in developing his people. You see, that's why for us as a church, it's not a mistake when the vision of this assembly, Wisdom Assembly, is raising a people of great value. How many people know that you are worth more than who they think you are? You don't understand. I'm worth more than this. Do you agree? Do you know that you have not even arrived yet? God is just beginning with you. And in the journey in which God is taking you through, there are certain things that God will have to take you through. There are things God will expose you to. And that's why I'm believing God that this service today will be a turning point for somebody. I'm believing God that through the information, through the things that God is bringing today, somebody is leaving this place encouraged. Somebody is leaving here challenged in Jesus' name. Part of my assignment today also is to come and provoke somebody. Why? I learned in life that anger is in the root of success. If you are not angry about a situation, you will not do something about it. If you have not been provoked over an issue before, you will not seek a change. I'm believing God that in the next few minutes, something will trigger within you and you will seek a better you in Jesus' name. Strategy for success. I believe that God wants you to succeed. Tell somebody, I believe God wants you to succeed. I don't have any doubt that Jehovah wants you to succeed. Our text scripture is a scripture that I believe so well that you know. 2 Kings chapter 4. And I'm going to paraphrase that because of time. The Bible talks about a certain son, the wife of a certain son of the prophet. The wife of a certain son of the prophet. And the Bible says that this man died. And after he died, creditors came and they were going to collect money. But because they couldn't get the money, he had to trade his two sons and they were going to take the two sons away. Follow me. And so, as they were going to, she remembered the man of God. And she called unto the man of God, told the man of God, apply it. This is what is happening. You know how your servant, my husband, has served God and served you when he was alive. But here is the situation. He has served you so well, but he died broke. Tell somebody he died broke. He died with nothing. And so creditors are here now to collect to collect the money which we don't have. And so they are taking away the future. The future are the children, the boys that he had. I'm praying for somebody that your future will not be taken from you. Whatever represents your future will not be taken from you in the name of Jesus. So creditors were coming to take the children from her. So she cried to the man of God. The man of God asked a simple question, what do you have in your house? Tell somebody, what do you have in your house? And she said, like anybody else would say, I don't have anything. Because quite a lot of us never appreciate the things that God has given to us. We always believe we don't have anything. She said, I don't have anything. He said, no, check very well. There's something you have. Tell somebody there's something you have. There is no one created on earth that does not have something. You have something. It could be your voice. It could be your ability to sing. It could just be, listen to me, your attention to details. There's something you have. And if you can recognize what you have, that is the beginning of success. Not what they told you, but what you believe God has given to you. So she found this little bottle of oil, said, I have this little bottle of oil. Said, that's enough. We will do something with that. God can work with the little. Now that little oil, that little bottle, I want you to go to town now and leverage on it, borrow more of it, bring it back, and then I will tell you. The rest is history because she brought it back. She was able to fill it, pay up all that she owed, and she had a few for her children. Follow me. Now, you will notice that is the story of this woman. My question to you also this morning is, what is your own story? Where are you in the scheme of life? Where do you find yourself at the moment? Where has life placed you? Because you have the option this morning to ignite something. Tell somebody to ignite something. To ignite, you can either ignite wealth or you can ignite poverty. And on a regular basis, people are igniting either of them, either wealth or poverty. I learned in life that ordinary riches, tell somebody ordinary riches. Ordinary riches can be stolen. Real riches cannot. In your soul are infinitely precious things that cannot be taken from you. Ordinary riches, your car, your clothes, your cash can be stolen. Are you listening to me? Men can come and take them from you. But in your soul, within you, there are some things that are so precious, some things that are so great that it does not matter who, nobody can take them from you. And one of those things that cannot be taken from you anyway, I hope you know, is the gift of the Holy Spirit that is within you. For the Spirit of God is able to teach you into all things what you ought to do, where you need to be, and the things you need to trade with. Tell your neighbor he's talking to you now. Listen to me. Being rich in life is having money. And quite a few people think they are rich. But when God called you, God did not call you to be rich. God called you to be wealthy. Tell somebody to be wealthy. What is the difference between being rich and being wealthy? Being rich is having money. Being wealthy is having time. Tell somebody having time. The man who controls time, are you listening to me? Is the wealthy one. Many people don't have time for God, not because they don't want to, but because there's somebody controlling their time. You don't show up in the office, you don't get paid. And so at the end of the month, you get your paycheck and you go and you think you've arrived. No, you did not arrive. You have only been paid for the time that somebody has spent. And the last time I checked, what made you man is not just the life flowing within you. It is the time that you have that makes you who makes you who you are. Are you listening to me? Your time is so precious. Your time is so precious. That's why if somebody meets you and asks you, how old are you? And you say, I am 20, I'm 40, I'm 30. That's not the question. That's not the answer they are asking you. The question they are asking you when somebody says to you, how old are you? What they are saying is, what have you achieved? Did you hear that? So I'm 50 years, okay? What have you achieved? I'm 30 years. What they are asking you is not how long you've lived, but how well you have lived. You will live well. Amen. I say you will live long. Amen. You will be like the well-watered garden. You will be like the tree that is planted by the rivers of Side, and you will bring your fruit in your season. Your leaves will not wither. Everything you do, you will prosper. In the name of Jesus. Do I have a believer in this room? Let me put it in context for somebody. Now, when you look at the story of this son of the prophet, he came, he lived, and he left. But long after he was gone, he left issues that families and friends had to resolve. Follow me. Which brings me to life stages. Tell somebody life stages. There are four stages in your life, and it does not matter who you are. Whether you are in Kansas, or you are in London, or you are in Dallas, or you are in Miami, there are four stages of life. The first stage of my life and of your life, and I'm trusting that the Lord is speaking to somebody this morning. The first stage of your life is called preparation. Tell somebody preparation. Preparation is the first from year 1 to year 20 of everybody's life. So you're preparing. You go to college, you go to university, you are preparing to work, you are preparing, a baby is preparing to eat, preparing to make the baby steps, you are preparing, everything around you is preparation. Tell somebody preparation. But you know that how you prepare today will determine how you embrace the opportunities tomorrow. Preparation. The second stage of life is the stage of acquisition, where you begin to you acquire many things. Are you listening to me? You get for yourself many things. And quite a lot of people are in that age, the age bracket of 21 and 40. And this is really where life happens. Follow me. If you are within that age bracket of 21 and 40 is where life happens, where people acquire many things. Oh, yes, they get their degree. Fantastic. It's the time where they have their masters. It's the time they are thinking of who I'm going to marry. So they get a wife. They get children. They get a house. At the same time also is the time where many decisions are made. Do you know that the difference between those who are successful in life and those who are not is in their decision? Successful people have made decisions very early in their lives that they are now spending the rest of their lives to maintain. But failures have made wrong decisions in life very early, and they are now spending the rest of their life repairing it, like this man that we read in this Bible. Are you following me? Decision of what to study. Decision of accepting Jesus Christ into their lives as their Lord and personal Savior. But they thought they don't need Jesus at that time. And they have wasted their life living anyhow. But now they've come to a place where they are repairing it. Decisions of what investment to go into. Decisions of friends and associates. People acquire a lot of things. It is also that stage that people buy what they don't need. Are you listening to me? To impress people who don't like them, who at the end of the day will never be impressed. Are you listening to me? It is that stage of life that they find themselves, the time where people acquire many things. It's also a time to acquire knowledge and to acquire the right friends around you. I am praying that if you are in that bracket, you are able to do what is needful in the mighty name of Jesus. It is that time also where you acquire understanding for service, to understand that the best that can happen to a man is to live their life serving God to the fullness, because it is God alone through him that a man is lifted. Make no mistake, child of God, if there is anybody who thinks they can succeed outside of God, can I say to you, it is effort in futility. To think in life, you can prosper and you can excel outside God. I want you to note that as the Lord speaks to us today. The third stage is the stage of consolidation. Tell somebody consolidation. At consolidation stage, you are 41 to 60. Now you have acquired here and acquired there and gotten here and gotten there. You've made many friends all around you. But when you get to the stage of consolidation, you are sitting and you are saying to yourself, for everything that I have acquired, I need to begin to bring them to bear. A strategy for success, isn't it? Many people acquire many things, but not everything people acquire really lasts with them. Are you following me? Not many things that people get. People come into marriage and they come out of marriage. Are you listening to me? People get degrees which they never use. People buy things that they never need. But when you come to consolidation, you are at that place where you are saying to yourself, now let's begin to think about it. If you are like me, you are thinking of pension. You are thinking of tomorrow, because you are coming to the age where your strength is gradually reducing, that the things you can do when you are 20, when you are 40, you will not be able to do them when you become 60. And so you are sitting down to say to yourself, I'm getting older now. Maybe somebody had told this son of the prophet, he will understood a bit better what to do as he was winding up in his age. Are you following me? So they think of pension, they reevaluate their life and their priorities. They look at their investment, even their insurances, they look at it again to see if it will fit long when they are gone. Are you following? And then you come to the last stage, which is the distribution. Now the distribution is that not this child of God. There is nothing God has given to you that is yours. Can I say that again? There's nothing God gives you that is yours. Everything God has given to you as a child of God is so that at the end of the day, you leave a legacy with it. Every place God puts you, every position and assignment you find yourself in is so that when you are long gone, somebody else is looking back and saying, thank God for that life. Where you are sat now, may I ask you, who is there today who is thanking God on your behalf? Who is there today who is saying, if not for that brother, if not for that sister, if not for this family, I probably would not be where I am today? Because at this stage, you are looking beyond you. You are looking at being a blessing. You are looking at being a mentor. You are being a role model. You are somebody that everybody is clinging to at that age. That's why you will understand that at old age, we believe that old age is synonymous with wisdom, isn't it? Because it comes with a lot of experience. But I have news for you. It's not every experience that is good. Some people have experiences today, and because of the experience they carry with, they have also destroyed many good things around them. So when a man is saying to the son or the daughter who is getting married, as you go into your new marriage, don't share your money with a woman because a woman cannot be trusted. It may be because of what he or she had gone through, correct? But does that mean it is godly? Follow me. In Genesis chapter 26, Genesis 26, you read from verse 11 to 26. There's a story of another young man there called Isaac. Isaac lived in the days where things were a bit tight. He lived in the time of famine. And it was as if everything around Isaac was not working. Watch this. The first option for Isaac was that Isaac was going to live where he was and he was going somewhere else. Isaac said, oh, Kansas is not working, so I am going to New York. Isaac said, things are not happening here. Let me go to another place. But God said to Isaac, Isaac, stay where you are. Help me tell somebody, stay where you are. You didn't hear me. Help me tell somebody, stay where you are. God said to him, stay where you are. Where you are, all you need is an idea. Tell somebody an idea. All you need is a word from the Lord. All you need is an inspiration. All you need is what is called corny invention. If God can give you corny invention, the same land of Kansas is the same land of New York, is the same land of Miami, and the same God is the God of all. Are you following me? Isaac stayed where he was. The Bible says in that same year, Isaac sowed in the land and Isaac reaped 100-fold, even when everybody around him said, it's not working. The Lord will change your story. You didn't hear me. I said the Lord will change your story. The Lord will give you and will show you marvelous kindness in this strong city in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Isaac was like that. But Isaac understood it by preparation. He understood it because he took advantage of the opportunity around him. I don't like doing things that everybody is already doing. Are you listening to me? If God is going to enlarge your coast, you must be somebody who will believe God to take you to new territories. For instance, Wisdom Assembly is a new territory. And believe me, child of God, it has not yet appeared unto you and I what it is like and what it will be. But the last time I checked, there is a day coming in this city and in this state of Kansas and even Missouri, that when they talk about high achievers, the first place that men will come to seek will be here at Wisdom Assembly. Are you following me? But it's just at the point where God is preparing. And when preparation is happening, it seems as if people don't see anything. It's in the same vein also when God begins to walk with you and begin to walk with me at the place of preparation, he may seem as if nothing seems to be happening. Nobody hears the aroma when you just start preparing a meal. But when it is almost done, everybody is searching and sniffing around to know what is happening. What the same thing God wants to do in your life, God is starting it from the place of preparation. I pray that you will be patient, that God may walk through you in Jesus' name. Because Genesis 24 verse 35 tells us that when God blesses, he says he wants to bless and make you great. And not only that, when God blesses you, he wants you to go in turn and become a blessing. That's the whole essence of it. Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 60, you read it from verse 1, verse 21, verse 22. He says you should rise up and shine. Why? Because a little one shall become a thousand. These words are not words just spoken. Listen to me. They are not just written. They are prepared for you. They are scriptures that as a child of God, you need to hold on to and chew them. Thy word have I found. Have eaten it. It has become a strength to my soul. Because these are things that God will work with you in the days that is to come. Praise the Lord. Let me show you this perspective. Money. Perspectives. Money. It says money doesn't change men. Watch that. Money does not what? It does not change anybody. So somebody say money is not good. No. Money doesn't change men. It merely unmasks them. Money doesn't change anybody. Whether you have or you don't have, whether you are wealthy or you are not wealthy, it's not money that changes who you are. Money doesn't change men, it only unmasks men. If a man is naturally selfish, if a woman is naturally selfish, if they are naturally arrogant or greedy, then what happens is that money brings it out. Did you hear that? Money does what? Money brings it out. However, if a person gets his attitude towards money straight, if you get your attitude towards money right, it will help straighten out almost every area of your life. A man that is hiding anything from his wife, you can trace it back to money. Are you listening to me? The one who comes into the presence of God and struggles to give is a function of character. It's a person. It is not money. Are you listening to me? If you get the issue of money right, it will straighten every area of your life. I have learned as I walk with God that God is the one. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. It says there is one that do what? That scatter. That just gives away. And he comes back again to much for him. But there is one that is always holding back. But every now and again, it leads to poverty. And giving or scattering is not just in the area of finances alone. It means in the area of time. Tell somebody time. Have you met people who are very busy? They are always very busy. They don't have time for anyone. Is that you? It's not just time. It's talent. Tell somebody talent. There's something they can do. There's something they are good at. But they will never trade their talent for anyone. Yet the word of God says it is your gift. Tell somebody your gift. If God is going to make you or help you succeed, God is going to walk through your gift. The area of your ability. God is going to walk through your strengths. God is going to walk through the things that you are good at that your neighbors struggle to do. God is going to walk with those little things that people around you compliment. Oh, the way you cook is special. Watch that thing. Oh, you are just very hospitable. Watch it. Oh, you are good. You are a good handy guy. You are good handy man. You can fix things. Watch it. Your gift is what God works with when you submit it to him. Are you following me? And then your treasure. God works with your treasure. Every time a man is told, I was shining one day in church, and I said, you see, this thing called giving, this thing called offering, this thing called tithe, every time God, or in a service like this, they say to you, offering time, and people say blessing time, and you get up, and you bring your offering, whether it is 100 pounds, and I hope this will help somebody, whether it is 100 pounds, or 200, or 1,000, God does not see the value. Did you hear me? He doesn't see the value of what you bring. What God sees is your honor. What God sees is the obedience. So it's time for tithe, it's time for offering. Somebody gets up, excited, and you bring what you have to God. God sees beyond what you have brought. He sees your obedience. What God is always asking for is obedience. Genesis 22. How many of you remember? God told Abraham, give me your son, your only son, Isaac. Isn't it? And Abraham took Isaac and was taking him up the mountain. As they were climbing the mountain, God had gone on the other side and he was bringing up a ram. Every time your obedience flows in the direction of God, on the other side, God brings your supply. So both obedience and supply always meet at a junction. And that is what is called God's provision. Anyone listening to me? But when a man holds onto, then what happens is that the best of God does not come to that person. I am trusting the Almighty God that in this season, as we trust God, the Spirit of the Almighty God will be able to walk through you. I learned in life that there are 5 kinds of people as I begin to round up. The 5 kinds of people in life, the first set of people are those which you call the very poor people. You see, the very poor people are people who think day to day. Tell somebody they think day to day. All they do is just, they just think day to day, day to day, day to day. What are we going to eat? As long as they are able to eat, as they are survivors, and that's all. And God doesn't create you. He's never created you and I to be like that. The second set of people are poor people. Poor people are those who live on wages. They have jobs. But their job are menial jobs. Maybe weekly, they get £4 or $5 an hour. And as long as they get that to buy the milk and the bread, they are satisfied. The third set of people, which is the most dangerous set, and many people in church fall into that category, is the class which you call the middle class. The middle class are those who went they earn salary. The middle class are those who, oh yes, you have a job. The middle class are those people that people will see and they think that they have arrived. Why? Because when they look back, they think they are doing better than somebody else. They compare themselves to those who are behind, those who earn wages. But they never look up to those that God has really blessed and the place God wants them to be. They never aspire beyond that. Or maybe they bought one house, but that's not what God is saying. The middle class is a place to be, but that is not where God wants you to end. There is the rich people. The rich people are those who have gone beyond that. But listen, there is a place I believe God wants to take the children of God. It's the very rich people, like the places of Abraham. And the only way you get there, tell somebody, is through covenant. Oh, you didn't hear me. Tell somebody covenant. Excuse me, sir. Every place you want to get to, everywhere and everything you want to become, God is able to make grace abound to you. Did you hear me? God is able to do what? Make grace abound to you. Everything you aspire to become and to get in life, the grace of God is able to supply and to provide it for you. But what is important is that in life, there is a God factor. I said it before. Tell somebody the God factor. In God's factor, there are things that God will do. But there is the man factor. The man factor are things that God expects you also to fulfill. For instance, let me ask you a question. Do you think that in your own wildest dream, you will empower your enemy with a gun? And you know the person hates you. Will you do that? Why won't you do that? Because you know that the gun in the hand of your enemy is a recipe for your own destruction, isn't it? Now, God is a God who knows beyond you. God knows who you are. He understands who and who you are. He knows the things you can handle. I don't know, maybe I've shared this here in this church before. If you bring me 5 or 7 of my children, those children in the youth church, in the junior church, of the age of 5 and 10 years. Are you following me? Age of 5 and 10 years. Bring 7 of them. Imagine they come on this altar and they begin to pray night and day for 7 nights. How many nights? They are praying 7 nights, night and day. They are fasting 7 nights, night and day. And their prayer point is simple. What is their prayer point? Lord, please touch the heart of our pastor, that he will release his car key to us and we can drive to town. Do you think God will answer that prayer? Come on, talk to me. Do you think God will answer that prayer? Why will God not answer that prayer, church? Why will God not answer the prayer? The Lord will not answer the prayer because what they are asking for will destroy them. The Lord will not answer the prayer because they do not have the maturity to handle what they are asking God for. The Lord is not going to answer that prayer, even though they have the growth and the birthright. The birthright is that, yes, baby children are to be carried in the car, but they don't have the growth right. What God is asking for you and I to succeed, is to grow up. Tell somebody, grow up. It's the ability to be able to manage the things that we are asking God for. Is to grow up to it. And how do you grow up to it? One of the ways to grow up to it is to be a God seeker. Tell somebody, a God seeker. Is to be somebody who loves God. Somebody. Once upon a time, 1 Samuel chapter 1, the story of that woman called Anna. Anna did not grow up. Anna wanted a child. And Anna was focused on herself. Lord, give me a child. Give me a child. Give me a child. Give me a child. Then one day Anna grew up. Anna realized that there is a need. God needed a prophet. And so Anna said, now I got it. God, give me a son. And I will do what? I will make an exchange with you. I'll give you a prophet. In the things that you are asking God for, Lord, help me. Lord, lift me up. The question God is asking is, son, daughter, if I lift you up, where's my lift? Are you following me? If I promote you, how will you promote me? You know, one of the easiest ways, strategy that I find for success is to be like that madman of Gadarene. What did the madman of Gadarene did? He made up his mind that he will be an advertiser for the Lord Jesus. To be what? An advertiser for the Lord Jesus. One of the ways, strategies of success today that I have found is somebody who will step up among the crowd. And the person is saying, Lord, you can count on me to be an evangelist for you. To be a witness for you. You know, one of the things I find very interesting is that the social media is one big platform today that you can use as a child of God to promote Jesus. All somebody is saying is that, Lord, from today, I take a mandate upon myself. I'll advertise you. I'll advertise the service. I'll advertise this mission. As you advertise the things of God, what do you think God will be doing? The Lord begin to advertise you. We have a lady in church. She took a picture with everybody in the service. Everybody in the service. They just took a picture together. She's been in England for 8 years. She doesn't have any paper. And she took a picture with somebody in the service. And after the service, she just posted it of what happened in the service. Somebody else saw it in Dallas and asked the cousin, that girl in the picture, she's a member of your church. Yes, I like the girl. Connect us together. They connected together. Today she's in Dallas, sorted with her own family. How did she do it? She just started by promoting God. She did what? She promoted God. And God is looking for promoters today. God is looking for men and women who will go out of their way and say, Lord, if you cannot trust anybody, can you trust me to promote you? If everybody will be quiet in this dispensation, because we live in the times, the Bible says in the end times, perilous things will happen. Men will become lovers of themselves. More than who? More than God. He says iniquity will also abound. God is calling for men that will say, regardless of that, I want to stand for you. I want you, God, Lord, to depend on me through the word of my mouth, through my action, in my offices. As Joseph went about, all Joseph was doing all his life was that he was a solution. Tell somebody he was a solution. In his father's house, he was a solution. From his father's house, he moved on to Potiphar's house. He was what? A solution in Potiphar's house. He moved from Potiphar's house, lied against, they threw him in prison. He got there. Guess what happened? He became a solution. It was being a solution that took him to the palace. Strategy for success. God wants you. God created you a solution. The proof that the Spirit of God is in you and I is that we are solutions. The proof that the Holy Spirit resides in you and I is that you are a solution. Everywhere and every place I find myself, God wants you to be a solution. Let's rise on our feet, church. Every place and everywhere you find yourself, God wants you to be a solution. You know, this morning, I don't know who you are, but I reckon in my heart, there are things that the Spirit of God steers you about daily, but you cannot and you've not been able to find expression for it. But you want to tell the Almighty God today, Lord God, even from where I am, Lord, make me a solution. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God right now. Just tell the Lord, Father, please make me a solution. In every place I find myself, because it is in being a solution that value is added unto me. And then through that, oh God, Lord, you are able to promote, oh God, Lord, and establish our path. Go and tell the Lord, this morning, Lord, make me a solution. Go and tell him, Lord, make me a solution, God, Lord. Make me a solution, Lord God, to my word. Make me a solution to my assembly. Make me a solution, Lord, to this city. Make me a solution to my leaders, oh God, Lord. Make me a solution everywhere I find myself, God, Lord, that the life of Christ be established in me. Lord, we thank you. We bless you, King of glory. there be anyone, Lord God, who came under the sound of my voice, Lord, that needs a touch, a healing, a deliverance, oh God, Lord, that the power of God will flow through everyone today, oh God, Lord. You'll establish lives, oh God, Lord, and you give us a reason to believe again. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name.